I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In today's gospel reading, the scriptures first say that thousands of people went to be around Jesus, trampling over each other, perhaps just to see him a little bit better, hear him a little more, perhaps even to reach out and touch him. And Jesus is speaking to these crowds of people and his disciples. And someone in the crowd brings up an event. When a group of Galileans were killed, were massacred by Pilate. And Jesus then brings up another, where 18 people were killed by the falling Tower of Siloam. And these events are lost in time to us, but we can see them illustrated in our scripture, and perhaps they were brought forward on that day because they were tragedies of that time. They were in the hearts of those people, and perhaps those people were still dealing with their shock and their grief and their heartache, so they brought them to Jesus. And Jesus doesn't actually respond too pastorally. It's not what they would have taught us to do in seminary. Jesus responds to them in a way that is quite direct, and he almost uses these events to his advantage to speak about what he wants to speak about. And he poses a question. He says, were these people who died worse sinners? Were they worse offenders? Jesus is asking the crowds of people, why was it them? And the question of why is something we can all ask ourselves from time to time as we go through our own tragedies and heartbreak. You can skim through the news or look through your own life, and I'm sure you will find something, unfortunately. And we can often ask ourselves why, for a range of things. It can be something like, why did Susan and I go to a restaurant and she got food poisoning and I didn't? Or it can be something more than that, not that that is not bad. Why does that person live on the street? Why is that couple unable to have a baby? Why did Muslims in worship get killed? We ask ourselves these questions why, not because we want it to happen to us, but we catch a glimpse, a reminder of how vulnerable we are, how fragile life and our circumstances can be. And so we start to do perhaps a little bit of rationalizing in our own minds. Is this God? Was God here showing me grace and mercy and not them? Was God here with me but not over there? Or perhaps we can say other things, like if he just focused on his work, he would have a home and a steady job. If she was just a little bit kinder, she would be happier in life. Or to go even more extreme, if they just worshiped the right God, my God, that wouldn't have happened to them. We can start to rationalize in these ways and bring God and God's love, our faith, into some very dark places, into some places where I don't think it belongs. But I think Jesus knew that our minds may go here and there, because he asked the question, he asked, were these people who died worse sinners, worse offenders? But he doesn't let anyone answer. He answers right away his own question and says no. He says it was not their fault. It was not what they did. And Jesus does not equate tragedy with divine punishment. But he does go on to say a bit more. He says to the crowds, unless you repent, you will perish just as they did. And he says it twice, so he must really mean this. And repentance is a hard word, can be a hard concept, for some even harder than the word evangelism. But this is the season of Lent. This is when repentance is front and center in a lot of our liturgy and in our church life. We come to worship and we confess that we are sinners. We will share in aspergies. We ask God to save us and deliver us into peace. And if you were on the up and up last week and you think you did pretty well, that's a lot of stuff to do. A lot of stuff that you might think you don't need to do. Or perhaps it's just hard to grasp because we think, doesn't God already forgive us? Why do we need to do all of this? But Jesus stresses so much repentance in this gospel. And he tells us what will happen if we don't repent. He says we will perish. And to me, it sounds a little threatening. It sounds like a divine punishment for something that we haven't done. And so I hold it in a bit of tension with what he said at the beginning. So I found this reading to be really tough. But when I discovered how tough it was too late for me to switch with anyone up here. Repentance, and I'm going to make sure I get this right. To repent means to feel or express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin. That might be the definition that we're all a little bit used to or we all naturally think of on our own. But the Reverend Dr. James Lemire says that repentance is more than that. Repentance is not just looking back and saying, I did something wrong and I'm sorry. Repentance is that, but it is also moving forward with God, walking with God and saying, wow, to God's presence in the world, even in the midst of the tragedy, of the heartache. It is trusting God to be God and being vulnerable in that, even at our hardest times. I grew up with my grandma living with us. And I mean, she'll probably tell you, she's probably much more faithful than I am, better at it. She would pray throughout the day. She would talk about God to us in the same sentence as her telling us to go brush our teeth. And I was blessed to be raised with that example in my life. And I'm thankful for it. And a month and a half ago, my grandma was diagnosed with colon cancer. And when I found out, I called her. And she said to me, if this is what God has given me, then I will deal with it. And I was trying to be a good granddaughter, so I didn't want to argue or say anything. So I bit my tongue and I called my sister so that I could vent a little more. And my sister does not go to church regularly. We're a little bit different in that way. And I said, can you believe that our grandmother said this? I don't think God has given this to her. And my sister responded, so you don't think God has done this, but you think God can cure it. And I thought about that for a little bit and said, no. I don't think all the repenting in the world or all the faithfulness in the world will change the fact that my grandmother has cancer. But what I do think it will do is uphold her and uphold those around her as she moves through this. It will show her the wow moments. We are not called to repent so that we can escape all of life's tragedies and hardships. We are called to repent so that we are brought closer to God and God's love and compassion and hope, and so we are brought closer to each other, to see those wow moments together. And we can see them in so many places, in this building that provides shelter and food and community and love for so many people. We can see it, we did see it last Friday as Muslims and non-Muslims stood together in New Zealand for worship. And we see it in the eyes of Alexander, who is to be baptized today and enter into a new and special relationship with God and with this community. Those are the wow moments we can see even in the midst of all the heartache that goes on around us. That is why we repent. So this Lenten season and moving forward, let us repent and let us give thanks for a God who loves us, holds us, and is in the midst of us during the tragedies and heartache and during the wow moments too. Amen.